Blog Talk Radio.
Hey Chris, how you doing?
States Armed Forces, and the men and women of police and fire services. When you're out there and you see somebody in a uniform, please take the time to please acknowledge them. Very tough time in domestically and in foreign lands for those of us in uniform. Again, this week we lost another police officer in California. We've always been a great audience, and I've always been able to respond to things. Please be kind to those men and women in uniform. But guys, it's been a sort of a spiky week this week. Bob, we were talking off air there about John Jones. You want to enlighten our listeners on that one?
When I was first talking about John Jones, so Jones is at it again with his driving shenanigans. Apparently, the man should stay in the ring and not behind the wheel. He's really good in the ring and horrible behind a driver's wheel. You know, we've all got to stay in our lane. We can't all be good at everything. But the guy, he's back in trouble with the law. He's had a hit run before. He's had a few other things. But he was recently involved in another accident, DUI, that kind of stuff. So you gotta. I mean, if you're making that kind of money, get a driver. I don't know.
Knowledge of John Jones. Can you enlighten our audience?
First thing, I want to say hi to you, Butch and Bob. Bob, please explain to because I didn't really hear anything about John Jones. But please explain everything to the viewers and to me exactly what's going on with him again. Oh my God.
Thank you.
All right. Well, John Jones has been in trouble before. He's a great champion. No one denies that. He's a great fighter. Early on in his career, he was involved in a hit and run, and that's kind of where I started losing respect for him because I've been to a certain level in this sport, and when everyone wants to be popular, everyone wants to be on top.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but that's the first accident where he crashed into at the intersection with the pregnant lady, right?
Yes, that's exactly what we're talking about.
This is the pregnant lady when he left the scene of his accident, and then he came back down the hill to get. I just want to get everything straight with as far as his because John Jones, I love him in the ring, but outside of the ring, I've seen him on camera talking to a police officer like he couldn't get hurt. And that, I've seen the guy being disrespectful. At the same time, and I'm sorry to even cut you off, at the same time, right before a fight, the day before a fight, the guy apprehended a person who snatched a lady's purse.
Right.
So, I mean, he has his good moments, and I just want to shine a light, his good and bad moments. But please go on.
No, yeah, I'm absolutely with you because, the guy is phenomenal, and that's the thing. It's a lot of these kids nowadays, with this snap tweet or whatever they do. I don't know. I don't do that stuff. But, right. And so they want to be popular and get these likes and all this stuff. But once you get the limelight, it's how you act in the limelight that kind of defines your character. Okay, so he's done really well, and behind the scenes though, a few times like he's done some really great things. It's just like football players coming out of their way to work with a camp or some underprivileged kids once
Absolutely.
A year. I like when you give back when you make it to a certain level and you give back. I like that. Now, having said that, but there's also a certain amount of respect you got to have. I mean, you can't keep coming up positive for PED. And then on top of that, that's just talking in the ring. Okay, you keep coming up hot with PEDs, and then outside the ring, you obviously can't drive a car. Okay, so you run a pregnant lady, and then you leave this – another one was a DUI. I mean, this is his third DUI in like less than 5 years. And if it was me and you, we'd be in jail. Mm. Jones, you know what I mean? This is my problem with that. Once you get to a certain level, okay, I'm not saying I'm a politician, I'm going to sell stock before the coronavirus. All I'm saying is once you hit a certain level, you've got to be a certain kind of person. Okay. Otherwise, step aside, realize, I don't know. I don't know what to say. I want to see him in the ring. I don't want to see him behind the car. I mean, he's got enough money. He's got enough fans. He don't need to be driving himself around. That's all I'm saying.
Now that Bob has said that, I'm going to put myself out here to say this much. Butch, you know I've been on here for how many years? And one thing I have been a champion, a total champion for fighters' rights. When I say fighters' rights, I want fighters to have control of their own careers, financial, and especially one thing is health benefits. I want fighters who have health benefits. As soon as they sign a contract to go professional, I want them to have health benefits and pension benefits. I have been I've written articles on that. But what I will say is this about, and just to put me out there, I don't like that. When I say I don't like that about John Jones, I watched him during a DUI video cuss a cop out.
Yeah.
When the cop was right. When the police officer, and let me not even go to that lane. When that police officer was in the correct lane, John Jones sat up there, cussed him out. And we can look that up on YouTube right now. That's outside the ring. Outside the ring, yeah, I could say things I don't like. But to be honest, every person has something I might not like outside the ring. So I'm not going to judge him by what got filmed. What I'm going to judge him by is when he did step in. And what you said, Bob, I'm going to absolutely put 100. I'm going to put 100% backing to. He stepped in the rings with PEDs. He's not hitting a ball. When you're smacking a ball over the fence, and then we're talking to Congress about smacking a ball over the fence, but we're not talking to Congress about hitting a person in the head while they're on PEDs, whether it's MMA, boxing, any physical contact sport where your job is to incapacitate another human being. You're not doing like intensive PED, like testing, research, or even, you know, just regulations. That's terrible to me. That is absolutely terrible. That not only goes to the non-regulation of boxing within every state. Boxing needs a worldwide regulation council, point blank. People could say, well, that even in itself could be corrupt. Even if you need it, so if it's corrupt, it can be held accountable. Anything, once you put it, can be held accountable. But not only in boxing, because boxing has no overall commission. My problem is the UFC. Not MMA, not mixed martial arts specifically. No, specifically the UFC. Because Dana White, UFC, everybody can say Dana White. No, it's a conglomerate. Dana White's kind of a face. He has some ownership in it. But the UFC specifically, that's terrible. And they have the same exact, they basically have kind of the same thing as boxing when it comes to pensions, when it comes to health benefits. I mean, somebody goes ahead and gets wrecked up in a fight, they might not even have, you know, the coverage to help them out throughout their recovery, let alone let them get damaged for the rest of their life.
I will absolutely validate that right now, because my wife is a doctor, and she works for a lot of the sites local in Colorado. She would stay late and make sure people got stitches, the correct care. You know, she would go out of her way to make sure these people got correct care. But there's a lot of these fight promotions where you go fight, you get cut, and they will send you on your way. Oh, sorry about that. Bye-bye. Now, they have insurance, but they don't want to tell you about that as a fighter. They don't want you to come in on that because they don't want to up their value. And I've been sent out a lot of fights, you know, myself before I met my wife. You know, I mean, when I say I married up, I mean I married up. I mean intelligence, wisdom, all those things. You know,
I mean, you gotta catch a fish. Bob talks good, but you gotta catch a fish.
I mean, I call it like I see it. You know what I mean? And she's taken care of people way more than I've been taken care of before I met her. You know what I mean? Like, Blue Cross and Blue Shield didn't cover me the way my wife does. So, like, I need her. You know, she puts me back together daily. But so, you know, even these fighters go out there and put themselves in the room, and they don't get. I don't know so much about boxing, but in MMA, I've seen people sent away with cuts. You know, all I'm doing as a coach is gobbing Vaseline in there. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing else to do, you know. So to see this stuff getting taken care of, and that's one thing I'll give Dana White credit right now. Like, he's real behind his team. But John Jones, he's like, at some point, yes, you know, it's like wrestling. We're single fighters going against a single opponent. Yet it's a it's still a team sport. There's a lot behind it. There's a lot more people that make this happen. All right, sorry, Jim. Go ahead.
Let me ask you, since you guys are talking about Dana White and UFC, he says now that he's going to push through on UFC 249. Is it? You know, given the fact that everybody's telling they can't have more than 10 people in a crowd, even if he has just the staff and the fighters, he's going to have way more than that. You think that's going to come off, Bob?
I do, just knowing his tenacity. I mean, even if he has to have 8 people in a room and then him and somebody else shows up to make it 10, yeah, I mean, he'll keep it. You know, he wants it. He's looking at 5 different locations outside of the U.S. to make sure this happens. He wants to be the first quarterback in television, okay? I know one thing that Joe Rogan says he does, okay? So one of our favorite commentators, like, you know, he's like, as far as the coronavirus, he's like, I'm not going. What if this person has it? What if that person has it? So Rogan's out. But Dana White's like, me and my staff are still full-time employees. We're still trying to make everything happen. All our fights have been postponed, not canceled. He's trying to get become the first sport back on TV. And I know that guy as far as a business stance. I haven't met him personally. But I've been in the sport a while. If he needs to keep the minimum account of people in their own dressing rooms and only bring so many people to the stage, he will do it. He will be one person under the number. The guy will get it done. You know, so that as far as that goes, I'm behind him. I mean, and the thing is with the coronavirus, I mean, you know, everyone should be doing social distancing and we shouldn't be getting in groups. I agree. Okay, we're trying to smash the curve. But as far as that goes, at some point in the next year or two, we're all going to get it. We're all just going to have to fight through it. It's like the flu. Okay? We'll all deal with it and we'll be okay. And that's what everyone needs to understand. We'll be okay at some point. All right? We're just trying to keep people out of the hospital right now. So that's my opinion. I'm not a doctor. I'm not no one. That's just my opinion. But so Rogan trying to get this stuff back in, you know, back in play, you know, I think it's on board. You know, yeah, you can't have a football or basketball or curling team because that's more than 10. But you can do some wrestling. You can do some one-on-one boxing. You can do some one-on-one MMA if you do it underneath the rules. And, again, everyone, it's like when I first started this sport, 20-some-odd years ago, no one knew what it was. We had to explain what it was. And after you explain what it is, you know, it's like two people, you know, going into a ring to beat the hell out of each other, okay, and using multiple weapons, versus just boxing gloves, okay? And that's one thing I give credit to boxing, because that just is so specialized. It's so amazing. But anyway, we get to use a lot of stuff. So, but, you know, you explain it to these people, and then they say, you know, oh, so it sounds like human cockfighting. Well, no, it's not that. It's two consensual adults, okay? We understand what we're going against. We have prepared. We have done everything possible. We know the risks. We know the outcome. We know that, you know, all of this stuff. So anybody facing the coronavirus, same thing, into a public venue. If you go in there knowing the possible outcomes, then you're okay. But if you go in there ignorant, well, then we have a problem, because then you act surprised when anything happens. So that's kind of my take. And so I want to see sports get up back on. I mean, I don't follow much other than MMA and boxing. I don't care about football. I'll show up on the Super Bowl and have the party with my friends. But I get the whole team sport thing. I get the multitudes of people. We've got to squash that right now and do what the government's telling us. But the one-on-one stuff, I'm behind it. Let's get some action. Let's get it up there. It's sure. MMA, boxing. Let's fire it right to the top.
Great. Well, Butch, you see, here's the thing here. Why the hell did you introduce me to Bob, and that's the first time I ever cussed on live, if I'm correct. I used the word hell. And, you know, I try to get you clean. Why the hell did you introduce me to Bob? Because he's a guy that I really want to meet. I like him. I like just his attitude, just about things. I mean, I might want to spy about him. I'm probably going to get hurt, but I want to go through it.
We will cut gloves.
To be real,
I'm excited to see you.
No. You spar me. I'm going to ask you. I mean, because I only box and spar. Please don't kick me. Oh, my goodness. I came from a Muay Thai camp, so I've been kneed and elbowed in the head. I mean, that was regular, but that was to get the fighters, you know, just in tune for their fight. But now, talking about that and to be real about things, and to get back on your point, Bob, I've dealt with fighters in a fight, after a fight, saying, thank God I didn't get messed up. Because I didn't have any health insurance. Literally, like, I cornered a fight, and the guy, you know how fights go, and with decision, and
sure.
The guy came back up, how you feel? You know, you got to ask the fighter how you feel. You know, I feel pretty good. Right? So then you get back in the locker room, you know, everything's getting, you know, he winding down, how you really feel. And you know what? You know, I'm a little sore, but thank God nothing really happened, because I didn't have health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard that, and I was like, kind of like, say what? But I ain't say nothing, because, you know, I'm trying to keep, you know, I'm the coach. You know, my brother was, you know, he's the chief. I'm second. But, you know, mainly I'm talking to him. And, and I hear that, and I'm like, even winding down, the fight's over, and I'm like, I don't want to say, like, say what to him, but it's kind of like, that's not, hold on. And it wasn't, I mean, that's not on even the upper level.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I'm going to tell you. Keep thumbing to Sean Porter. We're doing a nice little interview, you know, on YouTube. It was on, you know, they did a press conference afterward. They're talking, you know, popped off a little bit, but they you know, they kind of friends. And Keith Thurman said, you know, something, but I ain't have insurance. Something about a fight, something, but I ain't have insurance.
Mm-hmm.
I said, hold on. I reminded him. And he said, Keith Thurman said he didn't have, he might have been playing here, smiling on this, but he was saying something, and then he went in a little bit of detail about how he didn't have insurance for, like, the Danny Garcia fight, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, hold on. When you sign a contract with a promoter, health insurance isn't included? If that is the fact, and like I've been like even during the Andre Ward article I did, and I had to do a whole bunch of research with that. Not only that, the Eastern European boxers, like the articles I've done, I researched things, and these fighters do not exactly like. Sometimes they may have. I mean, if they ask for it, or if they, you know, I don't know if they press for it or not. I haven't done that much. I haven't talked to the fighters that much, but they do not have health insurance. It's not like a stated requirement or even a commission mandatory thing, not state to state. So fighters going to the ring anyway, they have no health insurance.
Right.
Unless they get it.
Hey,
to me, that's a problem.
I do know that, when Keith fought Danny, he was between fights and had had the accident and had gotten messed up and was down on his available cash to do it. But when he signed with, I thought when he signed with his promoter, Mr. Heyman, that Heyman provided that.
I remember him and Sean Porter at the press conference, and then he had health insurance, and then he started talking in detail. I don't know if he was playing around with it, but I didn't look too deep into his situation, but when I looked a little bit, when I did a little research, I didn't do too much, but I did just to see that. Fighters don't exactly have health insurance. And when I wrote my article, I remember saying that, and I thought that maybe things had changed or maybe things were different contract for contract, but because Andre Ward was dealing with contract issues anyway. So, that was part of my article, but as far as that goes, when I looked up I looked up some other things, and it's not a common thing. And that's crazy. In boxing, and what's even crazier, and I'm gonna state this, and UFC, not MMA. MMA, you know, you have different brands, different contracts, but UFC specifically, they do not offer like health insurance to the major, maybe to the major fighters, but not. They don't offer health insurance as a brand. They're individual contractors. I never known that until I researched it.
Yeah.
MMA fighters are individual contractors that may be signed to like six fights. To be an individual contractor and be signed for six fights, that is ridiculous to me.
Right.
I could go along with what goes on with that. Bob is better on for saying MMA. As far as being an individual contractor with no benefits or six fights, Bob is better off.
I'm not saying we're smart men.
Because I'm passing that off to you, Bob. Because I'm passing that one off to you. I'm sorry. I could talk about boxing with it, but I mean, it's more of a travesty to me in MMA just because, UFC, just because it's one organization that kind of has a monopoly to a certain extent on the mixed martial arts.
And we only got a half hour left on this show, so we don't got time to go into that one. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Hey, Chris, let's get Chris in on this one here. Chris, one of your favorite. Yeah, he's there. I want to ask him about Terrence Crawford. Yeah, Terrence Crawford is saying that, at least the WBA is saying that his next fight will be with Kell Brooks sometime whenever they open up the rings again in the gyms. I don't know what it's like up in that area, but in Florida, all gyms have been closed. No further notice. Hmm. So what's your thought on that one, Chris?
Why does Crawford want to fight Kell Brook?
Brooke needs the money, and that's why you're trying. Well,
Cal Brook could use the money.
Crawford
makes money all the time when he fights. I mean, he draws great in Nebraska. I don't know why the hell he would have fight Cal Brook. That's kind of an unattractive opponent to me. But, you know, with all the people he could fight and help the boxing game, why does he want to fight Cal Brook? I mean, he's from England. He doesn't fight over here. They got nothing to add to this, you know, to our program over here. Why does Crawford want? You know, there's a lot of guys that want to fight him. Could be a good fighter. Could make a great fight. Why the hell does he want to go over there and fight Cal Brook? Because nobody's calling for it. Mm-hmm. I don't understand that match. If that's going to be the one they're going to have, I mean, why? That's why. Why the hell would he want to fight Cal Brook? I don't know.
Dr. Chris. As far as that goes, I think Terrence Crawford has not a whole lot of options. He's in Bob Arum's camp. Not only that, if he beats Cal Brook, he beat the guy that Errol Spence beat. He's looking to beat him in an impressive fashion to demand that Errol Spence fight. And if he does, that kind of will. Terrence Crawford's been clamoring and talking about Errol Spence. Manny Pacquiao to an extent, just because Manny Pacquiao's kind of the money guy. Everybody's been talking about Manny Pacquiao, but Terrence Crawford's been talking about Errol Spence. And to be real, Cal Brook is an opponent that he could beat. At this very moment, Cal Brook is not, I mean, I don't want to call him a shell of himself, but I can call him not the former glory that he used to have. And he's going to, and Cal Brook, after the Errol Spence fight, I've seen him active, but at 147, I don't like him. I like him heavier. But even at 154, I don't like him against certain people. Cal Brook is one of those guys right now to where he's older and he's kind of in between weights. And that's not good. Not good against a guy who's kind of up and coming, and especially Terrence Crawford, who's sharp. Who's sharp. I'm not saying that Cal Brook's not sharp, but he wasn't sharp enough to beat Errol Spence. Terrence Crawford is more of a sniper than Errol Spence. He's not going to bludgeon you. And Errol Spence actually had to do some sniping to beat Cal Brook. He had to actually get kind of physically acute, if you don't mind me saying that. In boxing terms, he had to get to where when he landed, it had to be accurate. He had to land accurate hard on Cal Brook to kind of slow him down. Because Cal Brook, I mean, he was hurt. He hurt Spence a little bit. But, I mean, after Golovkin, I mean, no. Right now, Cal Brook, I mean, and he's older. He's a guy that Terrence Crawford probably is going to look very good against. But it's all a show for Al Haymon, to be honest. It's all a show for the Al Haymon fighters, Pacquiao or Smith.
Mm-hmm. How about we got Danny Garcia was set as the mandatory for Errol Spence, and that's coming up whenever they can get back in the ring. What's your thoughts on that?
They were supposed to fight. They were supposed to fight before Spence got in an accident. So, I figured that that's still going to go on. And I figured that should be Spence's next fight. I'm going to pass that on to Dr. Chris. That's all I think.
Yeah. Okay, Chris, what's your thoughts?
On what? On the...
On Cal Broxgart or?
No, Garcia versus Spence.
I want to hear both, to be honest.
Okay. That's good.
You know what? Garcia's growing into a decent welterweight. He's got a great chin. He's getting stronger. He's more of a match for Spence now than he would have been, you know, a year or two ago.
Are we talking about Danny?
Yeah, Danny Garcia, yeah. He's grown into a welterweight. And he got a great chin. It'd be a good fight.
Yeah.
You know, him and Spence. But I don't know. Is it mandatory now? I mean,
Yeah, it's a mandatory.
Is that why they're going to make it mandatory?
Yeah, they were supposed to fight before Spence got in a car accident.
That was
the matchup. Yeah.
I don't think Garcia could beat Spence, but, you know, if he's mandatory, he's mandatory. Down through the years, there's been a lot of guys, you know, that had to fight, you know, mandatory opponents. Some come off good, some didn't. You don't know. But I don't think that the anticipation would be that it would be a great fight. Not one everybody's looking to. Everybody's looking to see Crawford, you know, fight somebody who's up there. When the hell is he going to fight somebody good? It seems like his trainer always wants to get the weaker opponent for him. And then a setup type, you know. I don't know. I don't know why. He's got all this number one in the world, you know, the best pound for pound and all that. Crawford. But when's he going to fight somebody like Thurman, like one of the ranked welterweights, somebody that can give him a fight? He's always looking to go to Nebraska where he's protected. He's very well protected out there, and he draws well, makes money out there. So he don't
not
really
fighting.
He's in a comfort zone out there. It's going to be hard to get him out of there. But I'd like to see just how good he is. I don't know how good he is.
Well, the problem with that is promotion, Dr. Chris, because all
I know,
of the
I know.
Exactly. Al Heyman has it. And in the last fight I seen Crawford in, I liked the way he handled himself. But he got knocked down. And he got hit. I mean, Crawford, early in fights, I always said it. He is susceptible to get hit and knocked down if you get hurt. And I seen that in the last fight. After that, the guy didn't have enough conditioning for Crawford. It was simple as that. I mean, the guy, he was tough. He knew how to box. He knew how to get to Crawford. But by round three, he was breathing heavy. And he couldn't, and Crawford, he saw that, and he started putting the pressure on him. I see weaknesses in Crawford. I see weaknesses in all the welterweights, to be honest. Every single welterweight, I see a weakness in. But one thing is, I would love, and I'm going to go on your side, Dr. Chris. I would love to see him. I would love to see them. And Al Heyman and Bob Arum, they broke the negotiating tables, you know, the open before in that fighters fight. So, like this one, I don't want them to do what they did with Floyd and Pacquiao, because Crawford's not a young guy. And to be honest, Spence is a little younger, but you want them to. I mean, if they're your top two, you want them to meet. Okay, if Pacquiao's the money guy, you definitely want them to meet sooner than later. Because if Pacquiao has a better chance to beat him, then you still can move on with Pacquiao. If I'm Al Heyman, I still can move on with Pacquiao. If I wait later, any later I wait, then he is a worse chance to beat the guy. Because Pacquiao, I mean, I love him still, but he's getting older. You don't want him getting older fighting Crawford, if that's the matchup, if that's the money matchup. But I have a feeling that Al Heyman's trying to put Pacquiao and Spence together. I mean, yeah, Bob Heyman's trying to put Pacquiao and Spence together for his mega matchup, for his own mega matchup. And then the winner of that is going to go ahead and fight Crawford. My problem is when.
My problem is always
that's
when.
True.
I'm tired
yeah,
of
when.
Doing that Floyd and Pacquiao. We waited 5, 6, 7 years almost for them guys to fight. No, we can't keep. Yeah, Dr. Christian, yeah, we can't keep doing that.
Well, how many fighters does Al Heyman have that he's protecting Crawford's like it's his, like it's his only? Yeah,
Manny Garcia,
how many overall does Al Heyman?
Keith Thurman, Errol Spence. Those four, Keith Thurman, Errol Spence, Danny Garcia, hold on. I think five now. Errol Spence, Sean Porter, Danny Garcia, Keith Thurman, Manny Pacquiao. The five top ones. Crawford's the one that's involved Errol Spence. So...
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole problem. And that's why you having everybody circulating, fighting each other. Keith Thurman for Sean Porter. Sean Porter for Manny Garcia. Keith Thurman for both of them. Sean Porter for both of them. I mean, they're going to keep circulating. Pacquiao for Thurman. As soon as Heyman got Pacquiao. Pacquiao, I think, had maybe a pre-fight, but then he fought Thurman. So, like, it's getting circular. They're circulating. And that's why you don't see, like Crawford fighting, you know, better competition. He's not fighting the top welterweights. It's not, they're not out there for him.
Mm-hmm.
I wish.
Hey, Bob, Cormier seems to think that if he participates in the UFC 250, that'll help his career to rebound. What's your thoughts?
Who was that? What'd you say?
Cormier.
Cormier.
Yeah.
Cormier to stay. Okay. I can't. I have huge respect for Cormier as an athlete. He has done incredible things. As a person, I don't like Cormier. Just, I mean, take him out of the count of the whole John Jones, McGregor, these guys that think they're above the law. Cormier as a person, I just never got behind him. And that's my own thing. I don't, you know, I'm not trying to push whatever. But anyway, he's better as a announcer. He can come back. He never really got hurt. That's one thing. He always played the safe fight. Take people to the ground and just control it. That's one thing, you know, as a stand-up guy with MMA, I never got behind is you get a lot of credit for someone taking you down and holding you there. That's not my favorite thing because that wasn't my forte. And so I'm gonna put it down because whatever. It's boring. None of the fans like it. Like, everyone likes a stand-up fight. But anyway, so Cormier, you know, he never really got hurt. He never got any big cuts. He never whatever. So if he wants to come back, I'm sure he'll do fine. I know he's still training. Just like me, I'm old, I'm broken. I've had more surgeries than most people. I got metal knees, metal neck, whatever. But I still get in there. You know what I mean? You can't stop doing it. It's just like law enforcement or security. You're always looking for that situation. Okay. It's just in your blood. So you can't stop training, but, the coronavirus thing isn't helping at all. I'll tell you that. Cause
no.
I need a sport with
no.
one more week, right. So, but anyway,
I'm
so
good
at waiting.
I'm good
at waiting,
Bob. I'm good at waiting.
I know, right? Putting on my winter coat.
Good away.
I thought my dryer was shrinking my clothes. Comes out and find out it's my refrigerator.
Yeah, for real.
Hey, Bob, I remember a name. I couldn't remember last week. The guy that I was telling you was blood all over the place on the. On the ring was
yeah.
named Diaz.
Diaz. Yeah, I love that
God.
Guy.
He's
I
a
mean,
fighter.
That was one hell. That's
he's
a hell of
a
fight.
They don't stop. Yeah, Chris.
I
that
said
was
that last
phenomenal.
Week. I thought.
But you know what's funny? That fight didn't even make the top 10 of the bloodiest fights.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Christ.
Oh, man. Because Vic bleeds every fight.
Bloody enough for me, my God.
Well, see, that's the hard part with, you know, and we have so much smaller gloves in MMA than boxing. You know, you guys go with 10 ounce for a pro fight. We go with the 4 ounce. You know what I mean? And so, and with the elbows and the knees and stuff like that, we're really cutting.
Cuts a lot different.
Yeah, doctors, I mean,
their cuts go a little bit different, you know, than MMA than they will boxing.
Yeah. And so, you know, and like Nate Diaz, and then, and I'm brain fart right now, one of my favorite fighters. But anyway, they build up so much.
BJ Penn. If you're talking about bleeding, BJ Penn.
I love BJ, the black belt in Hawaii. I love BJ because, you know, most people get into fighting for money, and BJ already had money.
He got
money for sport. Okay.
BJ fought Machida. BJ went ahead and fought Machida. I have respect for him just for that.
Right. But then certain MMA fighters build up so much scar tissue in their face that you know they're going to get cut every fight. And so they only have so much time to finish the fight before they get opened up, because the doctors will stop it. Again, we need smarter people around us. Again, I married up. Okay, we need smarter people around us that make better decisions, because we're focused on the fight. You know what I mean? In that moment, and it's a fight or die moment. And so these guys have got scar tissue on their face, like Diaz. Oh my God! He was ex law enforcement. He's one of my favorite fighters. He fought in one of the first UFC matchups. But anyway, fight of the night. But anyway, I'll remember. Too much brain trauma. So anyway, but yeah, these guys. They only have so much time to finish the fight before they know they're gonna get broken up. I mean, the only way to cut is around the eyes, the nose, the mouth. The front of the face bleeds really well. Very seldom
you
see a back of the head.
Yeah, that's when
anything
they stop
on the head, anything on the head bleeds really good. Okay, but you're not going to see cuts on the top of the head, the back of the head, all that stuff. All the safety procedures are in place.
And that happens.
But
it's like
turning over that jab, or turning over that cross right at the end. It helps tear the flesh around the eye socket. And these guys. Yeah, so these certain guys have got that scar tissue, and if they don't win in the first round or two, they're going to lose by a cut, and it's unfortunate. And that's just what happens with that stuff. So, I mean, yeah, that's all I got on that.
Hey, Chris,
Bob,
what do you think?
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Z.
Oh, no, I was going to say, Bob, as a fighter, and you like striking. What is the hardest shot that you got hit with? I mean, as far as a strike, what was the hardest shot you got hit with?
An elbow.
Oh, to where? I mean, to where? To what part of your body? The elbow?
Apparently, to the head. You asked Frank to send you that picture. I sent it to him. The elbow to the face. I was on my back.
Oh, yeah.
I had him in guard. Uh-huh. He came down with an elbow.
Oh, gravity.
Not only broke my nose, destroyed it, blew it into so many pieces. There was holes. You know, you're not supposed to farmer blow. You know that you're not supposed to blow your nose after a concussion.
Hell no.
Right. But you know when you got your busted nose, it's like you're swallowing egg yolk after egg yolk after egg. You know, it's just gross. All these blood clots.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm like, pull me over the garbage can. I tried to do the farmer blow to get some out of my nose so I can breathe, and I literally blood came out the top of my nose because the cartilage had poked a hole, and it shot my wife and one of my best friends, and some people
had an extra hole out of the nose.
I was like a dolphin. Yeah.
The
don't mean to laugh at it, but I mean, no.
I mean, I've been there. I've done it. I've seen it. I when the blood is filling your eyes, when you're laying on your back, you can't even see. You're slipping in your own blood. It's slippery yet sticky. It's the grossest feeling. You know, you can't taste nothing but copper. Like I've been, and you fight through it. That's like I talked to Dr. Chris last week. You know,
you fight through
a broken nose, but you can't fight through certain things. You know, a broken nose. You only got two buttons on the on the front of the face.
Uh-huh.
That white cross to the chin, but everything else, you got to step to the side. You need temple. You need jawline. You need base of the neck. You need trap. You need some good.
They can't hit that nose again. They can't hit that after they hit it like that. They can't hit it like that again. Dr. Chris.
Yo.
What's the hardest shot you ever got hit with?
I got hit on the bottom of the nose by a pretty good puncher. It didn't hit me in it caught the nose clean with a left hook, like a left uppercut type hook. I saw every star in the universe. and I saw them all. I saw the universe and everything else that's the hell up there. And it was flashing around. I go, what the hell? What it just hit me, And anyway, it infuriated me. And when I got hit so hard, my head went back and my body went back. I threw a right hand as hard as I could. It was instinctive because I don't know where the hell I was. And I hit him between the eyes and broke his nose. I smashed his nose. So now we're both bleeding all over the damn place. He's bleeding on me. I'm bleeding on him. You know, and the crowd's going crazy. You know, and so we met 40 years later on the phone. We talked on the phone 40 years later, and he was telling me how hard I hit him. I said, "Well, I got some news for you." I said, "After that fight, I had a severe concussion." He said, "Good. You mean I gave you a concussion?" He goes, "Damn, that makes me feel better." You know, he said, "So you didn't get the better of it all night?" No, I said, "That left hook you hit me with, I'll never forget it. I feel it right now when he hits. You know, I can still feel it." But anyway, I never got a concussion. I other than that, I played football. I played a lot of football, but I never got a concussion.
No.
Now my brother, he got severe concussions. He had to stop playing football. He got to the point where if somebody hit him with a marshmallow, he'd be out.
Oh.
I mean, he just couldn't take it anymore.
Yeah.
The doctor told him, "Your next one may be the last one. So don't play football." He quit when he was about 19 years old. He didn't play anymore.
Yeah, there's no messing with
Chris.
I fought with eight. I fought with 8 ounce gloves once, but those are small gloves that the quadrangle guy used. Those things are brutal. They hurt like the son of a gun, man. You get hit with one of them.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
They really hurt, and they do a lot of damage. The way they're constructed, they do a lot of damage. They allow a man to hit harder.
Mm-hmm.
To tell you the truth,
because
it doesn't hurt your bones. Doesn't hurt your hands.
Have you ever got hit with the Reyes? The Reyes gloves? The Mexican gloves?
You know what? If I ever fight, if I was ever able to fight again, I would use those Mexican gloves. They're small.
Yeah. I've got hit with those. I've got hit with those. And because I dealt with Muay Thai, you know, dealing with Muay Thai fighters, and I didn't wear headgear for about 4 years, and I didn't wear a mouthpiece, and thank God I had my teeth in. I bled out the mouth, and I never got a concussion because I'm like, one thing I'm going to do is move my head. I'm a counterpuncher, so I always embrace contact. I embrace the contact just so I can get mine in. Once I get my contact in, even sparring and anything, I've never had fights on the level of you guys. I've just had sparring sessions that probably should have been fights.
I mean, to be honest, you can't dismiss that. I've done it thousands of times. It's a fight.
Well, when you're getting a guy ready to get into his fight and he really needs to fight, then it kind of ceases to be sparring, and you need to get the guy ready to fight. And I had no problem ever sacrificing myself for any one of my fighters. Even now, if my body's good, I mean, I'm going to give them what I got. If they need to go hard, then we're going to go hard. But that's, you know, I'm a coach. I do more of the coaching thing. I've had to do more of the hard coaching thing to the point to where we've had to fight. Like, and some guys, they didn't think, you know, they really had to fight. And I had to make them fight. So,
harder being a coach or harder being an athlete?
It's a lot harder pulling punches when somebody's trying to murder you.
Yeah.
That's my major thing. Because I'm not trying to hurt certain people when I can. I could really hurt, and they're trying to kill me.
You just got to take the athlete on the coach side. Harder being a coach than an athlete. I'll give that 100%. Like, when they get up in the ring, I'd rather take the beating over any of my people. You know what I mean? I'd rather be in there than watch them go through it. It's like controlling a video game, but you can't.
Oh, my God.
And so much more emotional. And being a coach is way more painful than being an athlete. An athlete, you're trying to be the best. The coach, you're trying to make them the best, and you take the beat.
Exactly. And I had to throw a towel. I had to throw a towel in on one of my fighters. I had to throw a towel, and you know how that is. I mean, you fought, you and Dr. Chris. When you throw a towel, you have to explain to a fighter why that happened. And that is serious. I mean, and they might, and the fighter's not even, when you throw a towel in, they're not in the best form to act.
No.
But you have to hug them, you have to love them, and you have to explain to them. And that's what I want everybody listening to, every one of our viewers to listen to. This fighting, it's a lot of passion into it.
And going on that aspect, I want the listeners to realize what you guys were talking about just a second ago. There is a huge difference between bag gloves and sparring gloves. The gloves I wear are for your protection. If you come in the ring with me with fucking bad gloves, I'm going to leg kick the shit out of you.
No, we're going to talk. We're going to talk first. Oh, you have dumb houses in? Okay. Now, if I'm going to keep these on, I'm not going soft. I'm not going soft. No, I'm either not going soft or I'm going to change gloves. We have to match gloves.
Bad gloves are like bricks.
Bad gloves. I've got hit in the nose with MMA gloves. I've got hit in the nose with straight up MMA gloves by a guy bigger than me. on teaching. Yeah. No mouthpiece or nothing. And just straight in the nose, 4 ounces, and he drilled me. You know, I was dipping most of the shots, and he caught me with one. That happens. as far as that goes, I wish I would have did it younger. I wish I would have did it younger. Maybe I would have been something. But I know what I know. And what I know is this much. Fighters are important. Fighters are some important people. They're like, every fighter to me is my child. Is literally my child.
I got a question for you. When you see these fights, these guys are fighting with these big, white, soft-looking gloves, and the other guy's got rash on. I wouldn't get in the ring with it. I'd throw them white gloves away and say, "Give me them damn rash gloves. They're like sledgehammers." The way they're constructed, they're definitely made different. All gloves are not the same. I would never put a pair of those soft white gloves, those big puffy looking things. I would feel like I'd be at a disadvantage.
The thing with white gloves, white looks a little wider. White, I mean, just off the view, they're always going to look bigger than anything you have. But white gloves,
yeah.
I mean, that's deceiving because you can have white Reyeses and that look bigger than red Reyeses, and they'd be the same size. They'll be the same size. Just because when you're looking, I mean, just off the, even when you're sitting ringside, the white gloves always look puffier than any other glove. That's more of a deception to me because they're the same size. It's just the white.
It's a totally different company. Reyes don't make a white glove. They don't make a white glove.
They make red and black.
Red and black, right. And those red ones are tough. I don't know who makes them. It's not Everlast. I don't think Everlast makes them.
The white gloves, I mean, just the color white kind of deceives.
Gloves. That's why women don't like to wear white. They look bigger and heavier. They always say, I look skinny. You cover up a whale with a black dress.
If you know MMA gloves, everybody wears black MMA gloves. They wear black MMA gloves because your fist looks smaller. It's hard to detect when it's black. It looks smaller.
Mm.
And that's MMA. With boxing, it kind of doesn't make a difference. I've seen it with boxing, but MMA gloves, they're a little smaller, harder to detect when they're white than black.
When you were talking about getting hit by a fighter, when you're holding that heavy bag and your chin's around here and you're trying to watch what your fighter's doing, sometimes a fighter will slide that right hand and they'll miss that bag and get you
right
on a damn chin.
Right in the face.
You got to see the guy's eyes roll back. His eyes roll back in his head. He don't know what the hell hit him. You know? Yeah. Hit him with them back gloves. Wham! He goes, What the hell's wrong after he comes to my mitt work,
and when I do my mitt work, I always for orthodox fighters, I hold my right up near my face. And I always want my orthodox fighters to throw the right, left or right, just because I want them to step and know the direction. I want them to have my body sliced. So they're not going across, throwing it right around, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you got to hold them mitts just right, yeah.
Oh, my
Those
goodness.
Guys are awkward.
I have to hold my mitts kind of either a little bit in front of my face or close to my shoulder, just so you don't want to hold them too wide out. You want them to have head proximity when you do mitts.
Mm-hmm.
And excellent. They'll slip every now and again. I catch a nice sharp jab to the face, or a little to the side of the face. But with mitt work, you have to be kind of precise with mitt work because you don't want to hold your hands wide out with mitt work because that's not true to the body. You want to hold it as close to your body as you can. So.
Yeah, but on doing that, and you work with new people, like I've been punched in the mouth by Walter Reed. I've been punched in the mouth by several congressmen. I mean, I've been hit by everything. Everyone loves
I've been punched in the mouth by a senator.
That's a favorite thing. You hold the mitts up. People are like, hey, jab. You're holding your, you got a cross with it, and all of a sudden they just punch you right in the mouth. Like,
the hell are you doing this for? I'm wearing a congressman.
The other jab.
They want to do mitt work. What are you supposed to do? Deny them?
They get so excited. Everyone wants to hit you in the mouth.
Well, guys, we're just up against our time here. I added some time on, but we're just coming up on the overtime. So, Bob, I want to thank you for preparation. As always, a great, great show. Chris, you always add color to the show. You always add great information to the show. And Z, you've always been there for showing us everything that people need to know about fighting. So I appreciate each and every one of you, and I hope each and every one of you have a great week and stay healthy, please.
All right.
I'll give you a call in a little bit.
Talking to you guys. Right. Thank you.
See you guys next week. All right.
Take care.
Bye now.
Thank both of y'all.
Yeah. And, Z, your homework for next week is to find out who makes those white gloves.
We don't want to do that. We want to make the black gloves so they're thinner and they're harder to see.
Z, you want to lead us out?
Sure do. Another wonderful show. I want to thank Bob. I want to thank Dr. Chris. I want to thank you, Butch. All my Fighting Words family. These shows are definitely in memory of Bob and Coach Mel. Anyone wants to hear any Fighting Words, please do call. Everyone, do your research.
Thank you, everybody, for coming on. Go ahead,
Z. Oh, no, I'm done.
Oh. Okay. I want to thank everybody for coming on tonight. These programs are dedicated to two of the most influential people in all our lives, both Bob and Coach Mel, two guys that took the game very seriously, two guys that never would walk away from anything or anybody, and two people that gave so much of their lives so that others could have better lives. So we wanted to say that tonight. We also, ladies and gentlemen, these programs are brought to you each and every night of the week in grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces, the men and women of Police and Fire Services. When you're out there and see somebody in uniform, please acknowledge them. These programs are dedicated to those who have lost their lives in the line of duty, Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Colcap, Sergeant Thomas Batinger, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazowitz, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Hendler, Lieutenant Mike Zerba, Newcastle County Police, Patrolman Anafa Chrisman, Lakeland PD, Chief Al Hogel, Longboat Key Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department, Highway Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Lozaro, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Murphy, Plymouth Township PA Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Bob Neary, Philadelphia Fire Department, Sergeant Mike Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Office, Deputy Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Jonathan Scott Pine, Orange County Sheriff's Department, Patrolman Robert Germain, Windermere, Florida Police Department, Trooper Chelsea Richards, Florida Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Joyce Craig Lewis, Philadelphia Fire Department, Patrolman Charlie Condit, Tarpon Springs Police Department, Hillsborough County Deputy Sheriff Charlie Kotloff, Corporal James O'Connor, Philadelphia Police Department, Delaware State Trooper Sergeant Rodney Bond, Captain Chris Leach, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Jerry Ficus, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Ardith Hope, Wilmington Fire Department, F. Tillie Special Inspector Vinny Galaccio, Delaware State Trooper Corporal Stephen Boward, Kissimmee Patrol Officer Matt Baxter, Kissimmee Sergeant Sam Howard, Captain Matt Letourneau, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Bill Gentry, Highlands County Sheriff's Department, Deputy Clay Zerba, Clay County Sheriff's Department, Deputy Natalie Corona, L.A. County Sheriff's Department. Deputy April Rodriguez, Pasco County Sheriff's Department. Officer Robert McKetchin, Biloxi, Kentucky Police Department. Patrolman Trooper Joe Bullock, Florida Highway Patrol. My brothers and sisters, although you're 10-7 at this point in time, at some time we'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the roads rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rains fall softly on your fields and the sun shine lightly on your face. Until we meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your families always in the hollow of his hands. Good night. God bless. And please stay in. Get yourself safe. And if you get sick, get yourself better. We don't want to lose any customers. Good night. God bless and have a good weekend.
Shem Alekma Yilama Shem Ahezahilma Sona Shem Nevoratfet Akuig again Mayilma Shem Alekma Yilama Shem Ahezahilma a fiery blade engaged to lead. He'd break the bravest in the field. Spirit and with mind aflame, saw wish and strength and length of days.
All units be advised, 1999's response to his last emergency. May God rest his soul.
Good night, Bob. We love you and we miss you.